Welcome to episode
12
of Wow Geekly, a weekly podcast about the World of Warcraft with a streak of geek. This episode was recorded on
Wednesday,
the
4th of December,
2013. Please remain as you are and let your auditory receptors give a warm, geekly welcome to your hosts, Asheo and Jeppy.
Good morning. Just when you thought it was safe to go back into iTunes, it's another episode of Wow Geekly, the World of Warcraft podcast with a streak of geek. And I'm joined, as always, by Mr. Asheo. How are you, Mr. Asheo?
Good morning. I am Celestial. That's what
Celestial.
I am.
Celestial?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Actually, we're doing something which you're not really supposed to do, and we're podcasting angry.
That's right.
But we're going to see how we go along, and if it comes across that we're types of mass murderers and we're likely to go out on a killing spree, you're not a million miles away from the truth.
Well, it's not my fault if the world is full of people that are out to piss me off.
And I know.
It just seems like the world is full of those people this week.
It's just one of those weeks where there's nothing but wall-to-wall dickheads.
Pretty much.
Not great. But we're going to motor through and we're going to try and talk a little bit about WoW and keep the anger down. I mean, my anger is being inspired by the fact that I've been without a boiler for the last 2 weeks and I'm having to wash my bits and pieces in a kettle. So
that's never fun. Well, you're lucky that your bits and pieces fit in a kettle.
It's a big kettle, mate.
Oh, okay.
It's one of those industrial ones.
It's like a witch's cauldron, is it?
Yeah, it's the sort of thing that you'd go take to a jamboree and serve, you know, 300-400 cups of tea in.
Ah, very good.
It's one of those, yeah. But anyway, that's all by the by. I guess we need to find out what we've been doing in WoW this week.
Oh, not so fast.
Oh, whoa. Hang on a second.
Sunshine? What? You skipped the most important bit of the show.
The last few weeks have not been fantastic in the number department. And what I was going to do is just slowly phase it out. But if you've got something good for 12, then I guess we could go ahead and do that.
It's like trying to phase out the fortune cookie, mate. It's just not going to happen.
Ah, isn't it?
Mm.
What does the fortune cookie say about number 12?
Oh, 12. Everybody's got a dozen great things about 12.
Oof.
See what I did there? Yeah, 12 seems to be one of those numbers that... A strange number of things that just line up with 12 in the world.
Hmm.
Yeah. 12 months in the year, 12 signs of the zodiac, 12 pairs of ribs in a human, 12 hours on a clock, 12 inches in a penis. I mean, in a foot.
If you fold it, what?
And then even you silly bloody pommies. Wasn't there 12 pence in a shilling?
There was, yeah.
Crazy.
Lord knows why. Why, though? Why 12? Because we've got 10 fingers. Why 12?
Yeah. Good, nice.
Can I answer that question? Or?
No, I've got no idea. But it just seems to crop up a lot.
But it must have some basis. I mean, I can understand 10 because of our fingers and toes, but 12 just doesn't seem... The fact there's a special word for it, a dozen.
Exactly.
There's a special word for 11.
And there's even a special word for a dozen dozen.
Oh, what's that?
A gross.
Oh, yeah. That's quite an old word.
It is, rather, isn't it?
If you said to a kid, well, that's gross.
And they'll turn around, look at you, and go, what? It's a dozen dozen? What do you mean?
It's a very, very special kid.
Yeah.
Although, this day and age, you can't tell. I mean, you know, I hear kids saying, well, that's the shit. And in my day, if that's not the shit, then it was pretty bad.
It's pretty shit there.
But I don't know. I've lost track of what's good and what's bad.
What's cool?
It's bad. It's good.
Is that cool? Is it not cool? I don't know. Yeah, it's good. Well, that's bad. It's good, apparently.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. But it even goes so far as 12 is the kissing number in three dimensions. You know what a kissing number is?
I have not a slightest idea.
When you think about it, it's how many... So picture a circle or a sphere, say, and pick it in, say, two dimensions. In two dimensions, if you've got how many circles can you actually fit together so that at least two of them are touching and around a circle. And I forget how many that is. I think it's like six. But in three dimensions, the number of spheres that you can position around a central sphere and how many of those can you actually fit in the maximum number? And the answer is 12. And it might be actually easy to conceptualize that if you're like, you've got a handful of marbles and you get one marble in the middle and how many...
These are all the same size.
All the same size. Yeah, exactly. And it was kind of suspected...
I'm holding a couple of marbles now.
Oh, yeah. But that's only in two dimensions, mate. It doesn't count.
Actually, one of them is not the same size.
One humble.
So that won't work. Exactly.
But it was suspected for a long time that the answer was 12, but it actually wasn't until the middle of the 20th century that it was actually proven. It was like 1950-something.
Couldn't they have got marbles and stuck them together and seen
Well, they could have done, but and in fact, I'm sure that they did that, but apparently there was some, I forget who the other guy was, but I know that there was a bet that Isaac Newton had with somebody about what the answer was, and he said it was 12, and this other mathematician dude said and reckoned, because when you actually position 12 balls in a sphere like that, there is a lot of empty space. Like you imagine, trying to join those up, there is a lot of empty space there, and he's supposition that you could actually... there would be an arrangement that we could get 13 in, but turns out, no, he was wrong. It was 12. Sir Isaac was right.
And that's a kissing number.
That's the kissing number because all the spheres are all kissing each other.
You ever watch snooker on the TV?
Oh, not for a while.
Or billiards?
Billiards, yeah.
And they say something like, and the black's kissing the pink.
Yeah.
Touching the pink. Do you know, I remember this vividly. The very first time when we had our first television, it was black and white because we're that freaking old.
Oh, yeah.
And the commentator was doing snooker and he said, for those watching in black and white, the pink is behind the blue. Okay. It's very useful. Anyway, that's all by the by. Sorry.
And I'm going to finish off the 12 with some to see how good your memory is. I'm going to be testing it here. So, of course, how do you figure out whether a number is divisible by 12? Well, it's easy because if a number is divisible by 3 and it's divisible by 4, then it follows that it must be divisible by 12. So now you have to go back and I get to say, well, I told you the answers to 3 and 4. What was that? And you're going to spill it out off the top tip of your tongue because you remember what I said in episodes 3 and 4, aren't you?
Hang on a second. just got to do some downloading from iTunes.
Yeah, sure.
I have no idea.
Nah.
Tell me again.
No, I'm not going to tell
you. Actually, I know. I know. I'm just playing stupid.
Yeah, you're just playing stupid.
I just want the audience to find out.
That's right. Audience can go back and you're going to have to go back and listen to 3 and 4 again. So you can stop 12 now. Don't worry about listening to the rest of the show. Just go and listen to 3 and 4 again. Away we go.
That was the height of the show, to be honest. We've let things go since then. So you might want to do that anyhow.
Shh. You weren't supposed to spell that out.
Sorry. We're not maturing with age. Let's be honest.
No. Not in any definition of the word.
No. So you're not going to tell us? You're just going to make people literally go back and listen to our show?
Literally make you go back and listen.
Literally. Okay, well, there you go. I can hear many, many disappointed sighs from our two listeners. And they're probably thinking, well, that's fantastic. I just sat around listening to all that bollocks and now I'm not going to get told the joke or the little bit of a trick for working out how it's divisible by 12. Anyway.
Well, I did tell you.
Yeah, I know, but in the old show, I'm going to be honest with you, I've forgotten the first 10 minutes of this one.
Well. Well, you're editing this week. You can go back and insert the bits of from episodes 3 and 4 in here.
Can I now? Yeah, that ain't happening. If you're expecting anything inserted, then you're barking up the wrong tree, I'm afraid. So, now that we've got through that soy mess, right, what are we going to do about whale?
I love the whales.
They're more than I do.
You've been. I know you've been in game because I saw a link to a YouTube video that I haven't had a chance to watch yet.
I know. I've been slaving over a hot computer doing videos. Well, I did one video which was basically summing up or introducing via video what we talked about last week on episode 11, which is Project Madonna. Like, I don't know why I called it Madonna. Or if you ever get a chance and you want to get, not much of a laugh to be honest, but some off a laugh, there's a transcript feature on YouTube which takes the audio from a video and it tries to create a transcript. And according to this, it's Project McDonut. So there you go.
Because McDonut makes so much more sense than Madonna.
At 0.41 of the video, supposedly I said, is back character shit create? I don't think I...
I don't think you're allowed to create a character called shit. I'm pretty sure that Blizzard wouldn't let you do that.
No. So the video, that first video was all about creation, creating the characters, looking at the completely empty BattleNet. Is that kind of exciting video?
Oh, wow.
Moaning on about how awful it is trying to name a character in this day and age when all the good names are taken by people whose accounts are dormant.
They certainly are.
I did come up with a solution, and you can see it in the video. Having done or been working on over the last, seems like 4 days, on the second video, which goes into more multi-boxing-y stuff, I regret choosing that particular way to name characters. Because it all sounds a bit messy, but you'll see that on the second video.
All right, then. I think nowadays you just name characters by holding down the Alt key and thumping away on the number pad, don't you?
It would be cool if you could do that. I really did think to myself, well, maybe I'll go down the special character route again, but so many problems.
Yeah.
So many problems it causes, especially for mailing and stuff.
Yep.
So I've tried to avoid it this time. Perhaps not as successfully as I'd hoped, but I've only created like 4 characters. I'm already running out of names. I'm like, so but anyway, that's all.
Well, I mean, first, you know, if you deleted your characters and freed up some names, then maybe we wouldn't have this problem. I think really that the problem is mainly due to you.
I'm taking a lot of names.
Yeah. Or your inactive accounts.
Well, talking about inactive accounts, unfortunately, I did a little naughty, long before we left Control Alt WoW. I discovered that Aprilian, a long, 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 long time ago, created a horde guild over on Winterhoof. I'm not 100% sure why. And she let it lapse. It went, I think it's 6 months now. You have to wait until the guild master is basically allowed to be stripped of their duties.
Yep.
And sure enough, I logged in and nobody had been on for 6 months, so I took the guild.
Thank you very much.
But then I was a little bit naughty. That's fine, because that, you know, we have a little bit of give and take between myself and Aprilian, and guilds have changed hands before. That's fine. But what I then went ahead and did is not nice. I demoted all her characters to initiate. So in effect, that means, I think this is how it works, and it may not work this way, but the guildmaster doesn't come on for 6 months, and then it will offer the guild to the next level down, which are all my characters.
Right.
Because there are no characters off my level. Everybody else is a brilliant and they're initiates. And so it will never offer the guild to her, regardless of how long I stay off that particular guild. Now, that's all well and good, because obviously I can nip back in, make her guildmaster or mistress, and everything's hunky-dory. Sadly, the account that particular guildmaster is on is well frozen.
Whoopsie.
And I was sat here listening. This was actually not this last Control Alt WoW, but the one before. I was sat here listening, and all of a sudden, a brilliant starts to say, somebody has taken my guild. I'm thinking, God, that sounds familiar. This is, I wonder who that is. Somebody's going to get named and shamed. I'm rubbing my hands together that somebody's going to get yelled at. And then it turns out it was me. So I would like to formally apologise via this podcast to Aprilian, who I know listens, which is nice. I am endeavouring to try and sort it out, and I apologise to the entire core community for my my terrible attitude towards that particular guild, and it will be back in the hands of Oblivion sooner rather than later. Hopefully, I'm going to put a ticket in and see if they'll just be able to do that for me.
Wow,
probably not. Probably not. Have to pay $15 to try and sort it.
That's right. Still.
It's no more than I deserve.
And they'll fix it up for you. Spot on.
So the only, like I say, creating these videos means I have created some characters. My first set of characters, shockingly enough, are hunters over on Airy Peak.
What a shock.
Created and level one and put away again, because I then went on to do this multi-boxing video. And because I'm so OCD about trying to keep all the levels together, I couldn't use those triple hunters for the multi-boxing video, because I wanted just to show multi-boxing on the one machine, and the best way to do that is just to show dual boxing.
Oh, okay.
So I didn't want them to get out of sync, so I had to go and create another two warlocks over on Earthen Ring to do my multi-boxing video.
Dear.
I know. It's an illness.
If you don't, if you don't pull your finger out and start with some serious leveling, that's not a knife. It's going to be level 25, and you'll have contributed zilch.
I don't well, apart from the 20 levels I already contributed.
Yeah, apart from that. I'm talking about the important levels. You know, you're 23, 24.
Well, I was going to jump in at 24.95.
Right. Yeah.
Hand in a quest, get the ding, and take all the credit.
Well, that's what Leader did the other night. We were slaving away in the dungeon, killing stuff, and it's getting close. She logs in and, like, you know, does a cooking daily or something. Bang. Done.
Yeah, it was well done, Leader.
Well done, Leader. Yeah. Good on you.
I'm very sorry, but you cannot criticize Leita for anything. She's beyond lovely. And is actually the main guest on Realm Maintenance this week that came out yesterday, Tuesday, the 3rd.
I think what's happening is she's actually trying to give Ro a run for his money on how many podcasts she can appear on in a week. Pretty sure that's what's happening.
She's doing very, very well.
Yeah.
And not only that, but we had our dear friend Matta appear on her Behind the Avatar podcast. Now, talk about your Aussie podcast gold.
If you're loving some Aussie accents, there's a good episode for you to listen to.
Yeah, so you certainly need to be queuing those up, both Behind the Avatar and Realm Maintenance. And while you're queuing up podcasts, don't forget our mother podcast, Control or WoW. And also Strumpet 101's... We're calling that one All Pets Allowed. Yes, All Pets Allowed, which has a video element to it, which I hadn't noticed that before. She has a little video as well explaining some of the pet battle stuff. And I don't know who they had on or who they're planning to have on this week.
It'll be some loser.
She's obviously gone through the creme. She's gone through the creme to the creme, and she's probably digging deep into the barrel, but... Oh, we'll see. I'm sure.
All right. Okay, it was me. I was on it.
Oh, okay.
Oh, spoiler alert. So, people can go and listen to that to get an in-depth discussion on the topic. But I thought I'd just throw it out here and maybe get some feedback from people. So
we get feedback.
The Celestial. Oh, yeah. Yeah, normally it's just because your microphone is too close to your speaker, but that's okay. So the Celestial Tournament is that wonderful thing they added in 5.4 where you need to defeat seven pet tamers or pet fights, and you're not allowed to, it grays out, you're not allowed to use your pet heal ability that reses and restores all of your pets, and you're not allowed to use the bandages, which will do it when you're during your 8-minute cooldown is up. But that's pretty much it. There's no other built-in functionality that to stop you from doing any other healing. And of course, I mean, once a pet's dead, it's dead, right? You can't. There's no resurrecting it. But I mean, if it takes damage during a fight, there's plenty of pet abilities that that do a heal. And And so what I've been doing is taking advantage of the magical crawdad, which is the one that that you get from Mr. Pinchy, fishing up Mr. Pinchy. Yeah. And there's a few pets that have it, but he has an ability called Wish. So you do a wish, and then in the next round, your pet will be healed a whole bunch, pretty much back up to full. So you can actually go into a fight, and you know a lot of these fights, who you're battling will start off with casting some weather effect, or casting a shield, or casting a heal themselves, or leaping up into the sky. So if you go and start a fight and do wish, and then swap in your pet that's taken damage in the last fight, he gets healed up, and then you forfeit and abandon the fight. And so you basically can then, you get your pets back up to full, and off you go and do another fight with those pets. So the question...
I can see what the question's going to be.
Is that... Well, it's easy. Is that cheating?
And the answer is yes, that's cheating.
No, it's not.
It's pretty cut and dried.
No. How is that cut and dried?
No, I think that's...
If that was cheating, then they wouldn't let you do it.
They shouldn't let you do it.
The only restriction...
Let you forfeit.
No, there's plenty of situations where it's you need to forfeit. I mean, okay, maybe it's a little bit of a grey area in that, I'm forfeiting and gaining health, but I consider it... Well, they're restricting you to three of a particular pet. You can have three of them. So if you like that sort of pet and you can't have any more, then and you've got heal abilities that can heal pets up, then why shouldn't I be able to do that?
Now, deep down, you know it's cheating.
No.
You know, I can hear it in your voice. Deep down, you're wanting to show repentance, because when you announced via Twitter that you had completed the Celestial Tournament, there seemed to be no doubt in anybody's mind that you must have cheated in order to achieve it, which I thought was a little bit harsh, because it's not like you're some sort of dumbass newbie pet guy. You've done the rounds. You know, you've obviously learned your trade. But pretty much everyone said, well, I wonder which cheat he used. Now, you don't want to give it away, I'm sure, because obviously it's going to be a major part of All Pets Allowed. But did Strumpet fall down on one side or the other?
Let's say yes. Let's say yes. Okay. Actually,
she was definite.
Let's say that she has never indulged in that particular behaviour, despite knowing of its capability.
Now, if you are going to do a forfeit, does that mean you have to start from the very beginning again and face all those pets again?
No.
No. So, okay, that's...
So the ones you've already beat.
Because otherwise, if you lose, you get kicked out and you start again, don't you? If you lose all your pets.
Yeah, if all your pets are dead, then you obviously got no chance of... It never kicks you out.
But oh, no, you could certainly go through with no pets.
There's not really much point in starting a fight.
Now, I am not really having much of a leg to stand on, because any mechanic that allows me to achieve things easier, and a lot of those would easily be considered cheating, and I won't even try and defend them. I do, because, I think you're right. There's a certain grey area, because if it's cheating, they wouldn't allow you to do it. And if it was something that was cheating, they're obviously very aware of this, because it's been going on a wee while now.
Yeah.
This particular...
I'm sure they examine...
Mechanic.
All sorts of mechanics like that.
And the fact is, you did catch the Crawdad, and the Crawdad does have this special wish ability, and there are a limited number of pets that do allow you to heal your entire team, which I think is what the Crawdad is doing, is it, with the wish?
I forget now, but it was weeks and weeks and weeks of fishing to get that to fish up Mr. Pinchy.
So it could be argued that you've got yourself into a position where you can use a mechanic that perhaps is not necessarily used by everybody else.
I've put in the hard yards, mate. I've put in the hard yards. Yeah.
Still cheating, but I'm trying to give you something to be able to make
I appreciate it. Appreciate it. That's very kind of you.
But I guess if we if we're really out there trying to get some feedback, let's get some feedback. So anybody else who has done the Celestial Tournament without cheating may well... I imagine that's how it's going to fall. Those people who managed to do it without using any type of mechanic are going to say, yeah, that's cheating, because they happen to luck out on the RNG and manage to get through the system without having to do anything like that. And all those people that... have used these little workarounds are going to say, no, right on, no problems.
Yeah, what about the people that are just butting their head up against the wall and haven't...
Well, they're as of listening to All Pets Loud, they're going to be off cheating, aren't they?
Yeah, well, there you go.
Well, I suppose they're going to have the first hurdle, which is to try and get the pets necessary to do that particular... I'm going to use the word mechanic, because cheating is starting to get a bit bad.
Mm.
But that particular mechanic.
Good call.
But yes... We look forward to listening to your feedback or reading your feedback via Twitter or a quick email or a tiny, 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 tiny short audio.
Just the audio that says, no, it's not cheating. Just send us that.
Yeah.
We'll play that.
Even if it says it's cheating, a Shayo can edit in the word nah.
That's right.
Nah.
It's not.
It'll be,
it's not cheating.
Nah. Nah. It's not cheating. What? Actually, I put a knot in there as well. Anyway, so we look forward to listening to you on All Pets Allowed.
Mm.
There are many other fine podcasts out there, including our dear friends Molson and Salty Slancher over at Bitter and Salty. And we have a new podcast on the horizon. Actually, the first episode came out last week from Juno. And it's called Corpse Run Radio. I think you mentioned it last week.
I did indeed.
Yeah, so I have to be honest, I have not had a chance to listen because I've been too busy faffing about with videos, but I am certainly going to be adding that one to my list as well.
And a good listener it is too. Basically, what you're telling me is you've done no actual playing of the WoWs.
It's almost like a hell. I want to make the videos.
Mm.
I've been promising to do a multi-boxing video for 6 years.
Yeah.
So I want to do the video, but I don't. I thought to myself, as soon as I besmirch, as soon as I pop the cherry on this new battle net, I'm not going to be able to go back and delete the characters and front up as if it's a whole new battle net.
Sure.
I'm going to have to dive in there and do the video while everything's brand new and spanking new. So until I got to the stage where I could actually do the video, I haven't used that battle net. It's actually been 10 days, maybe a wee bit longer.
It feels more longer than 2 weeks.
I think it's been about 10 days since Strumpet kindly recruited my first character. Yeah. She only just got her pet, her recruiter friend award, and she picked a jade cat. So that would have been 7 days, and I think that was a couple of days ago, so 9-10 days. It does feel a heck of a lot longer, you're quite right, because I was very excited to get in there. But I have to say, I've tried doing these videos all professional-like and scripted and trying to make it sound, hey there, this is WoW Geekly's video.
Oh, yeah. Sort of,
oh, yeah. And all that sort of bollocks. And it's not me. It's not me. I'm a chit chatter. And so hopefully all the ums and ahs and stutters and stops and all my basic blather doesn't put too many people off. But I am looking forward to some feedback.
Sure, it's gold. Gold.
See, I love the community. I love the folks that we have around us. But they are very nice.
Yeah.
They are particularly nice. And so basically you could put a turd up on YouTube on a record revolving round slowly at 33 and a third. And I would hear awesome, great gold. So, you know, I do want to hear general, proper, you know, constructive criticism. Now, I know there's a few people, particularly in the WoW, the Control Alt WoW Clan of Darkness page or group, who will give me some feedback. And I got a bit of feedback on our intro, basically saying that the text was a wee bit too small. It was fantastic if you had it up at full screen, but most people don't watch YouTube videos on full screen.
This is true.
Well, go ahead and increase the text size.
Most videos. Oh, sorry, John.
So I did my own acoustic exercise. So that's the sort of constructive feedback I'm looking for. And hopefully, like when you all send in your tweets about how much cheating a show's done in the Pet Battle Arena, then I will also get some feedback on these videos. And the feedback, constructive feedback, makes them better and hopefully gives you things to watch that you'll enjoy watching.
Brilliant.
But I have to say, hand on heart, that's pretty much all I've done inside the game this week. Sad to say, no noob to elite.
No.
My noob is still noob. Still sat at 88, never going to get to 89.
Well, if you're still diddling away with these videos and you don't want to get into your Virgin Battle.net, then maybe we should do that. Maybe dedicate an hour or seven to getting your poor old Warlock to 90.
Oh, really? Mm. Well, I don't know. We'll see how it goes.
Come on, let's put it on a post-it note.
Let's get this post-it note. I'm going to use the pink one. Ignore Asheo. He's just doing it for his own good.
Yeah. Because, of course, the other problem is, now that you're on your Virgin Battle.net and you won't tell anybody what your Battle.net ID is, I don't even know where you are.
Well, I did join the That's Not Knife Guild of my free hunters, so you can see them in there if you wanted to.
Mm.
I will be giving out the Battle.net. I don't have it to hand, or I would give it to you now on the actual air, because I'm keen for this to be kind of community based, and as we move forward, it'll be interesting to see what people want to see as far as videos go. And we do have some ideas as a podcast about how we can use our video channel a little bit more constructively, and we'll be hopefully announcing some of those in the coming days and weeks. Grace yourselves.
I want to see you level up three Warlocks, because we're going to get two other people to level up Warlocks alongside you. And we're going to go in five-man dungeons with five Warlocks.
Ooh, five Voidwalkers.
Yep.
Actually, I would be surprised if that didn't work.
Yeah, so would I.
Because those Voidwalkers can take a smack.
Yeah.
I saw, I didn't take note of exactly what it was, but I saw a video of a Warlock soloing something relatively new.
It was the first boss in Siege of Orgrimmar.
Oh, there you go.
Exactly. Warlock solid. Yeah, I mean, there's some sorts of attacks and that where the Voidwalkers just take no damage at all.
Yeah.
And it was the wee hours of the morning during the week. Not many people around on Timeless Isle. And I think somebody turned up, you know, when he was down to about 10%. But I basically soloed Hulon.
Ooh.
And Hulon smacks people about. Right? And my Voidy, he just stood there and went, whatever. I cracked 100,000 this week. I was pretty proud.
Oh, nice.
I cracked 100,000 DPS on my Warlock. That's so I was bashing away and getting Hulon down. I was hoping I could solo it, but somebody turned up and helped me for the last little bit. But it still felt like I pretty much soloed it. Mm-hmm. You know, I was happy with cracking the 100,000 mark on that's a single target. Obviously, you go into LFR and, you know, the tanks round up a whole bunch of ads and you AOE them. It's nice to be seeing 300,000-400,000. That's some pretty crazy numbers.
Yeah.
But
you did 90% off Hulon, so that's not too sniffed at.
Yeah, that's right.
Probably not the hardest 90%.
Well,
fair enough to
say. The last 20% is pretty easy, because you've got lots of abilities that increase damage when pets are below. Mobs are below 20% health. So I did the hard yards. Exactly. But he's yet to drop any rains for me.
I
do as much as I can, and no rains, mate.
I mean, if you're not going to get it when you take him for 90%, then when are you going to get it?
Yeah, because you kind of figure, well, you know, it should be the loot that drops off the rares should be proportional to the amount of damage that you did to bring him down, surely.
If that were the case, I'd never get any loot.
Well, there's that.
Because I run along and put a bandage on somebody, and that's it. I've done my job. Actually, the scary thing is, the dude with the 10% probably got the veins.
Yeah, that'd be bloody right.
Not again. Veins again.
Although I have to say, I have had some pretty good luck recently with drops and things, not necessarily with the high-end gear in your Siege of Orgrimmar, the rag gear. But certainly in terms of, you know, getting lots of the older tier in previous LFRs. And I forget which one it is. I think it's the big dinosaur boss in Throne of Thunder. He drops a primal egg that basically you have to just hang on to for 9 days or something ridiculous. It's not 9 days. That sounds too long. I can't remember what it is now. But
a thousand days.
That's exactly right. 40 days and 40 nights. And it hatches into a mount. And I got
that little leg.
Yeah, little leg. And bingo, bango. I got myself a black primal raptor.
Oh, is that
that's
nice?
Yeah,
nice,
I was pretty happy with that. Yeah, it's a pretty nice looking mount. So I think that's the only way you can get that one. So that's, you know, a reasonably rare mount. So I was pretty happy with that.
I like those triceratops looking ones.
Yeah, they're pretty cool.
Dire horns, I guess they are.
Then during the week, we were doing our little Lobie runs on Airy Peak, and queued up and got BRD, Black Rock Depths. Yeah. And there's the fire elemental boss that's in there with little fire elementals that run up to him and you got an AoE down. Well, he drops.
I'll take your word for it.
Yeah, I know. It's probably been a few days since you've been in there and done that one. But he drops a epic headpiece called the Circle of Flame, and it's a highly sought after transmog piece because it basically looks like you've got a halo flame that you're wearing around your head. And we went in there this week, and for the first time in 9 years, it dropped.
9 years.
And we all went, yeah, well, you know, that's about how long I've been running BRD for.
Yeah. So you've never even seen it. You've never even seen it drop.
Never even seen it drop. Not one single time. So, you know, once in 9 years, 8 or 9 years, that's a pretty reasonable drop rate for a pretty rare epic transmog piece. We all went ooh and ah and rolled need and Lita won it. We all went
oh, I
couldn't have
up
gone to a nicer person.
See, the thing is, if you'd have said to Lita, listen, I've been doing this for 8 or 9 years and this is really the only thing I've ever, ever, ever wanted in game, she still wouldn't give it to you.
The only reason I'm still playing.
Well, just congratulations, solid. Lita.
Congratulations, Lita.
Good goes to the good.
Yeah, but that's not the end of the story. Oh, no, my friend. Small. Oh, no. So a bit later in the week, they're all leaps and bounds ahead. When I say that real life and work is kicking my butt, I'm not exaggerating because they're all like 4 to 5 levels ahead of me. They're waiting for me to catch up. So I thought, I better do the right thing. I'll run a couple of pugs and try and catch up. So I queued up, and lo and behold, I got BRD. And we ran in and we killed the elemental boss, and the Circle of Flame dropped again.
Twice. In the same
twice
week.
In a row. Two runs.
Be honest, only ever won BRD 2 times.
Never seen it. Never seen it drop in 9 years.
Oh,
and I saw it drop 2 times in a row. I was like, wow, that's some serious funky RNG right there. And I won that one. So you can check out little baby Asheo in the show notes. So I've got a screenshot. The Circle of Flame.
This could have gone either way, couldn't it?
Could have been
one of these stories where you went, ooh, yay, or one of these stories went, no, oh, no, not again. You're never going to see that ever again.
But this whole story was, you know, I started off by saying I've had some pretty good luck, so I kind of...
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I did...
Admittedly, that was several hours ago when you
admittedly,
said that.
Admittedly, yeah. Mm.
So I have lost track. Like I said, I'm very much goldfish, and I'm looking at about 4 minutes back.
Right.
From what I can remember you said.
So we're just going to start calling you Dory.
Who are you again?
Hi, I'm Dory.
So you've stuck it. What did you say you stuck it on? Your warlock.
Yeah. So Asheo, the Lobie dwarf warlock on every peak.
What? Why would you waste it on a dwarf?
Because that's what I was. There's no blood elves on the Alliance. It's ridiculous.
So there's no selling of that item, is there? There's no...
No.
God, can you imagine what that would go for?
Oh, golly.
I'm really hoping that in Warlords there's some sort of spell that you can unsoulbound items.
Nah.
Can you imagine giving it to one of the professions that they can produce something that would unsoulbound
items? That would be a dream come true.
They may have to pay back enchanters, you know.
I want to say there's no chance that they would ever do that. But I said that about things like changing faction and allowing PvP and PvE turns in opposite factions on the same realm.
Yeah.
Never say never.
I, for one, would want it to be a enchanter. So if you're listening, Blizzard.
All right. Give it to enchanting.
Take away all their enchants, but just give us the ability to unsoulbound items. Mm. That'd be fantastic.
At a price, you know. Just it could be a good gold sink.
Yeah,
option.
Definitely.
Yeah, make it 20,000 gold or something.
No problem.
Mm. And Circle of Flame itself for 100,000.
Yeah, it's just payment for work done.
Yeah, maybe it needs another level of soul boundedness. So you could have a bind on equip item, then you could have a bind on pickup, but bind on pickup that can be made non-soulbound, but if you actually equip it, it becomes really soulbound. So bind on pickup, yeah. and then you have soulbound. So you couldn't cast the make this bind on equip.
You couldn't have worn it for a few weeks and then give it back.
Yeah, no, you can't do that.
Yeah, you've got to have some sort of control.
Decent compromise.
Yeah, come on, Blizzard. Why is that not in the PTR?
Well, that's what I meant to do this week. The PTR patch notes are actually out. I meant to look at that today. Never got to it. Yeah, no one wants to read patch notes. Never mind.
There's always next week.
That's right. Maybe it'll be out next week. Maybe Warlords will be out next week.
Don't say that. I've just got back into doing a whole new Battle.net.
Oh, that's right.
Now I'm bucking for it to come out later.
Yeah. No Warlords until my Wrath is finished.
Or at least, if not a second one. Now, I have to jump into your section, as it were, and kind of apologize to our dear friend Ilanth Linechild. He was a bit late to the party. He DM'd me and said, you know, if you're considering doing a Wrath, I will happily be the starting point of that Wrath. He hadn't listened to episode 11 at that stage. He went ahead and listened to episode 11 and has since worked out that Strumpet took the glory and indeed paid the money. And therefore, poor Lion Man, Erenth Lion Child, has to wait his turn. And he's worked out, given the fact that there is a queue, that he's going to have to wait till 2020.
Right.
He seems to completely underestimate my insanity. The fact that he thinks I'm not going to do a new Battle.net between now and 2020 is sadly mistaken. In fact, I'm seriously thinking of doing one in the new year. But no, we'll see how it goes.
Well, I mean, I don't quite understand why you've drawn the line at 3. Why don't you just chain another 3 together and make it 6?
I certainly could do.
Why don't you make it 61 and go and join a PvP realm?
Ooh. If anybody's listening to this that sits on the Darkspear realm, sits crying in a small corner of the Darkspear realm, you may have shuddered just then. Actually, I kind of led up to it last week by talking about what was going on in the forums, and I was perusing the forums as one does, obviously well-suited and booted and wearing several layers of protection, and I came across Darkspear. Now, I'm not sure why. Actually, I tell a lie. I am sure why. Last week we mentioned the idea that when realms are joined together, the name of the character is such and such, and then the realm name.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to be Jeppy's Airy Peak. That's not good. However, I would quite happily be a Darkspear because that sounds kind of cool. Yeah. So I was looking at other realms that I might, that were.
Of course, you have to be a troll.
Certainly, yeah. Definitely all trolls. Anyway, so I'm perusing these particular forums and there's a lot of hate. There's a lot of hate going on in these forums.
Unusual.
Yeah, which is, okay, not 100% unusual. Forums are a breeding ground for your average hater. This hate, though, is directed in one direction at a young fellow. He's probably not very young. I'm trying to find the dude's name now, which is a bit shameful, isn't it, that I didn't write that down?
He knows
who he is. But anyway, he knows who he is. He knows who he is. It's hard to miss him because he's running around with 62 characters, multi-boxing. 62 characters.
That is insane.
Now, as I mentioned last week, this particular realm is a PvP realm.
Hmm.
But not only is it a PvP realm, but it has quite a reputation for an ongoing world PvP between a number of the bigger guilds on the particular server. And this guy isn't affiliated with the larger of the PvP guilds, but he kind of rocks up whenever they're fighting and gets involved. And I'm not going to mention any names. You can go along and you can actually see the constant berating of this particular guy. I won't mention his name. He does a few videos as well where he's incredibly offensive. But anyway, he rocks up and they keep saying things like, "Look, we can't control him. He's not in our guild."
Yeah.
But whenever he seems to be following certain members of the guild, and when we get involved in a bit of world PvP, he rocks up with his 62 characters. Now, when he does that...
It's a little bit one-sided.
A little bit one-sided. Basically, he massacres any of the players that are on the opposite side. But also, it completely buggers the connection. Now, you know, if you've ever done For the Horde, I'm sure you've done it several times.
Yeah.
You go riding into a main city with 39 of your best mates, or worst case scenario, when you're going with AIE, probably 120 of them.
Yeah, it's like 120.
Yeah. Things start to slow down a little bit. I'm sure you've noticed it, even on the most Uber machine. There's a little bit of...
Your frame rate tends to drop down from 120 down to something a bit lower.
Yeah. Which is fair enough, because there's all of a sudden lots of things going on. Now, all those things that are going on are relatively independent. So when one of your mates is attacking somebody with a shadow bolt, another one of your mates is maybe using his sword. Now, so there's lots of things going on, and there's a bit of a slowdown. If 62 characters hit...
simultaneously doing a shadow bolt.
Exactly. When 62 shadow bolts hits a dude, that crashes a server. And the main complaint over on Darkspear is that you just can't play. When he shows up, basically the server just grinds to a halt.
So maybe he's actually affiliated with the opposite losing side. And rather than them admitting defeat, you know, they just bring out the "let's crash the server, dude."
Maybe, I don't know. But there's a heck of a lot going on. There's a heck of a lot of sniping, a heck of a lot of anger towards this guy. And he's not stopping at 62. His goal, it appears, and I have Lord knows how much money he must be making in order to be able to pay for 62 accounts, let alone the 100 that he's hoping to get up to. 100 accounts. I mean, leaving aside the subscription costs each month...
But the machines to run it.
Machines? just the electricity to run it would bankrupt most WoW players, never mind the actual physical machinery. And I haven't seen his setup, but I imagine it's gargantuan. Because there's no way...
But his internet connection. He must be on a fiber backbone right next to the Blizzard data center.
Basically, he's a professional griefer.
Yeah.
Is what we have here.
Yeah.
Now, there's a good reason why he's kind of turned to PvP in the guild, PvP in the realm, as opposed to individual players, because it's no longer possible to multi-box in PvP, proper battlegrounds, which I only just found out.
Because of the follow.
Yeah. Mm. Take away the slash follow. So I'm still concerned about that being something they might do for outside the world, but hopefully it won't be. And I was thinking about it the other day that it annoys me just as a mono boxer that slash follow was taken, because I used to use it. I used to follow a big dude.
Yeah. How am I going to go AFK?
AFK and you know, use him as some sort of shield.
Yeah.
Anyway, one of the locked subjects is sick of that multi-boxing goon.
and I'm sure that all the threads are full of Blizzard. Do something about it. Fix it. Well, I guess if he hasn't broken any terms of service, then.
Well, there is a term of service.
Well, is there a term of service for griefing? Because is there a, do you have to prove that it's griefing rather than him just wanting to massively multi-box PvP?
The only terms of service that they could get him on, and I'm not sure why Blizzard haven't approached it from this angle, is that you are not supposed to do anything that may cause a server to crash if you know that your actions could result in a realm crashing or world server going down. You're obviously not supposed to be doing that. And a player called Swifty, who had a huge following, enticed a large group of people to come into one of the main cities, and it crashed the server, and he got a ban for that. So
right,
it's not like they haven't used that in the past.
Yep.
Now you getting a 72-hour ban, and you know the difference between that and being banned altogether. I don't think they're ever going to ban anybody that's paying them for 62 subscriptions.
That's right.
I know that it's a drop in the ocean compared to the 7.5 million, yeah, but
lose all that
but
money.
It is an interesting
for
thing.
72 hours, at which, you know, he's going to just laugh and go, okay, it was worth it. This is awesome.
I have to say, I come down on the side of those people that feel they're being griefed. As a multi-boxer, I've taken my fair share of hacks, cheats, and all sorts of other things from players, and I've been running around on 2 or 3 characters. But to be honest, if I was running around on 62 characters and causing instability on a server, I would deserve all the abuse.
Yeah, I mean, it does. That takes it to an extreme that kind of paints multi-boxers in a bad light, and I don't like. I mean, it's sometimes hard enough to be, you know, accepted as for multi-boxing without that sort of scenario that you know makes it look like there's some bad eggs in amongst the group.
Yep. It's certainly the outer edge of the particular insanity.
Yeah, that's extremely insane.
Anyway, go check it out. It's on the Realm forum.
Go and roll a character on Darkspear and.
Okay, hang on a second. He's expanding it to 107 accounts, according to somebody now. I don't know why he's choosing these weird numbers.
62, 107. It's weird.
The follow-up to that 107 comment is, time to uninstall the game.
I'm not coming back till I can fly in Warlords.
That's right. On my own. Nobody else there. Anyway, we've talked about that. Yeah. You should also go check out your own realm forums. They are quite illuminating, particularly for gold makers. There's a lot of stuff being sold on that. I think people appreciate how much stuff goes on the sort of down low
really?
Via the forums. Yeah, people offering various types of armor and stuff, and bits and pieces, and high value items.
I'm constantly baffled or surprised by the people that try to sell stuff in trade chat rather than just stick it on the auction house. You get people like, I got 6 stacks of ghost iron ore, you know, I'm selling it for this. Why are you trying to sell that in trade chat? Just stick it on the auction house and go on your way.
Yeah, they don't want to keep an eye on it, though. They just want to, I know why they do it, because they want a quick sale and they want to just get rid of it. See, I quite like the idea of orders, and it's not something that Blizzard have ever done. You do see it a bit in trade chat where somebody will say, send me all your ghost iron, COD, I'm paying whatever it is.
Oh, yeah. Seen that. Yeah.
And, you know, and that's kind of like the order system. It happens in Eve. If you ever play Eve, you can go ahead and you can basically make out a work order for a certain amount of goods, and people will fulfill that. They may not be able to fulfill the entire work order, but they'll fulfill parts of it.
Oh, okay.
And it's clever in as much as that for the first, you know, 200 stacks, it's a slightly higher price than it would be for the next 200 and so on and so forth. So you want to get in there early and get the extra money or whatever. So I don't know if Blizzard will ever do that, but it is an interesting way of trading, particularly in these large volume items.
Yeah, it seems to me that the people that I've seen doing that are obviously extremely heavy auctioneers that are, you know, working a lot of different markets and bulk selling. Obviously, turn around the mess.
Raw materials, if you want to pick up, say you're doing inks, I don't know who the hell would be doing inks in this day. Say you're doing inks.
I gave up on
in the old days. I think most people did. It's actually a good market to jump into because there's like 2 people doing it now. you kick off and you want how I mean you need thousands upon thousands of these herbs, and when you go into the auction house, there's like tens and fifteens, and you're like, oh geez, I'm going to be here all day. No, God forbid that I ever miss spotters, but there was a time when you would go on the auction house and there would be thousands of them because people were botting, herb collecting, you know. And as hideous as that whole process is, and I certainly don't think it's a good process, it certainly get a nice fluid market. But you don't have that now, so you do need to get people basically sending it directly to you. You want them doing it via COD.
Oh, it sounds like a good thing for them to add to the game. Work orders, I like it.
I doubt it's coming any day soon, but still.
So I've been playing my Warrior a bit more this week.
OP.
Yeah, super OP.
You should have called it OP. OP the Warrior.
Yeah, pretty cool.
That's taken.
I was out playing with Molly, actually. She picked up a... She had an old druid that she hasn't played for a while. It was about the same level. And we went out to Falwood and was questing out there. And... I knew I was doing reasonably well in damage and playing it, but it's even more stark when you're out there with somebody else and you're comparing the damage that you're doing to a similar level boomkin to what the warrior is doing. It's just like it's chalk and cheese. The warrior is just smashing it. I'll run in and basically three shot a mob and. She's still trying to get off a wrath, and the mob's dead.
Wow,
it's pretty impressive the warrior at these lower levels. I'm really enjoying it, and I was trying to figure out why is it that I'm liking the warrior, but I don't have historically not liked playing melee players, and. I figured out what it was. It's all about charge. Because when you're playing a feral cat or a death knight or a rogue, particularly a rogue where you're trying to, if you're playing with somebody else, you want to get behind a mob and attack them from behind. I was constantly getting, that mob must be in front of you, or you must be behind that mob, or you're facing the wrong direction, and all that sort of malarkey was just driving me nuts. And with the mobs moving all over the place, and you having to position yourself just right to get to do melee. Whereas your warrior with charge, you start off ranged, and you charge in, and you basically stun them, and you stop. Right at the exact right position to melee them in front of them, and then you don't have to do that alignment, that whole alignment issue.
Yeah, it's a lot smoother, isn't it?
Yeah,
actually, warriors are the only melee that I can multi-box because of that.
Right. Yeah. And even so, what made it obvious was like if Molly pulled a mob, so she did a moonfire or something, and pulled a mob, and the mob started running towards us. Then pretty much on any other melee character, if I'd have run up to them, it basically would have run through me and then it'd be behind me and I can't attack. Whereas I'm outranged at the same distance as the druid and then charge in as it's running towards us and it basically it stops and I start meleeing it right there. I think without charge, I wouldn't be enjoying the warrior as much as what I am, and it really makes a difference to making melee tolerable for me.
Yeah, it is that, as I said, it's that smooth move from distance to up close that is guided by the charge. Yeah, I don't know if I've ever told this story before, but when I very first started in WoW, I think I created a human mage, and my son and I were running through Northshire Abbey. I don't remember. They used to, across the river, there was these grapes, and he used to go and do these grapes.
Yeah. Yep. It's all on fire now, yeah.
We were doing that, and all of a sudden, this warrior charged through the grapes and attacked one of the mobs that we were about to attack. And as one, we said, okay, we're going to be warriors. That's fantastic. Yeah. That's when he got charged very early on. I think he got charged on the second or third train. I don't know when you get it now. Do you get it quite early?
I don't know. Yeah.
But yeah, we saw that. And went, okay, that's cool. I'll need that.
I can do it.
So my first character up to Cap was Warrior.
Yeah. Because of that. I think I don't actually remember, but I'm supposing that when I, because I picked up this Warrior again after playing it for 30 levels, I think I must have been doing those low levels with a group, and I'm sure I never tanked on him. I don't know why he was spec'd as tank. Maybe I was going to tank or something. Yeah. But I can only suppose that I never, as a DPS, it was like the tank's job to charge and take hold of the mob. And so I probably just always ran up to the mob and started attacking it rather than charging it and risk taking aggro.
Yeah. Yeah, and stunning. Yeah.
But now, no, bugger that. I'm charging everything, regardless.
You hate it when it's on cooldown, though. It's like, oh.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's why I can't remember what talent it was, but I quickly realized, oh, okay, Juggernaut, your first tier talent, reducing the charge down to 12 seconds instead of 20 seconds. Yep, that's what I want. I'm respecting and taking that one.
Cool. We need to give some thanks to Casey Turbos, a big fan of the show, who's very kind and always says something nice about us.
She does. We love.
Are we going for she? I think that's a he, to be honest. No. I know Casey. Casey with a C. And the picture does look quite male. Anyway, so I don't know about you, but...
I'm going with a she.
Are you? Well, I think you're mental. I'm going with a male. And Casey, please put us out of our misery about whether you're he or she. Who has most offended you in the last few seconds? Probably a share, I would imagine.
I'm imagining Casey as a she, and not only that, she's holding a soft stuffed toy, and not half bad bit of your animation comic-y character-y stuff that she gets into.
Yeah, I don't.
Bit of an animator.
I'm looking up close. Oh yeah, I've seen this little character concept sketch. But what Casey did, what she did, is did this like a little. Okay. What she did. I'm sorry, Casey. I'm sure you're deeply offended by Sharon. I apologize. We've already established that he's a cheater in the pet battles. It's not like he's going to be telling the truth on this occasion either. But he did us a little poster type thing, which has got the well awesome. Deeply. Yeah, it looks a bit like a wanted poster, doesn't it?
The geekiest orc ever. I love it.
Yeah, it's cool. And if she doesn't mind, I wouldn't mind adding that as the end page to some of our videos.
That would be
Let us know, because that would be cool. And obviously, we'll give you props in the video.
I don't know about I know it is rather geeky, but if you've worn a bow tie, I can pretty much say, hand on heart, I don't think I've ever worn a bow tie.
Have you never been to a formal dinner?
Yeah, but I didn't wear a bow tie.
Well, then it wasn't properly formal then, was it?
No.
If it's black tie, then it's a bow tie.
Oh, I just wore a black tie.
No, you're wrong. If I wore a tie rather than a bow tie on the cruise ship, I'd have been thrown overboard. You have to.
Oh well, yeah, because that's a cruise ship, and you have to look like a dick. That was his name, Oscar. Who was the dude on the Love Boat with the bow tie?
Oh, I don't know. But anyway, you'd have to. But black tie is bow tie. Black tie is, yeah, not tie tie. A tuxedo should have a bow tie, surely.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I'll give you that.
Yes, but they are cool. They're cool, according to Doctor Who. So.
Actually, now that you mention it, yeah, I probably have worn a bow tie at a wedding or something.
My class function.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Some highfalutin, fang-dangly thing.
And did you go for the full where you had to tie it yourself, or did you go for those nasty
clip-on things? Oh, mate, I don't actually remember.
No.
Mm. Would have been the same places where I wore a cummerbund.
You don't see many of those in the wild.
Cummerbund and your bow tie, they go together, don't they?
They do. Mm. They do indeed. Like I said, I had to wear one pretty much 4 days out of seven, 4 evenings out of seven, because we had formal evenings.
Oh.
I did have a clip on one for quite a while because angry pastries used to grab hold of it. Why is the internet not working? Let go, let go. Yeah. I've been charged £9 for 20 minutes on the internet. What's going on? Not good. Anyway, yeah. So yeah, no bow ties. But that bow tie on our Well Geekly poster is cool.
Geeky as.
Fezzes are cool as well.
Mm. Well, yeah. If you're Will Wheaton or Doctor Who.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that it extends much further than that.
Will Wheaton.
Dear. My week of sadly the ninth anniversary buff gone.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had a day and a half ish of crossover with the Dark Moon Fair wee buff and the ninth, and I never actually got around to figuring out if they did stack. I assume that they stacked.
They did stack. I think Lita proved that live on Control Op.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
A live Lita proof.
Wasn't there? I thought I saw somewhere there was a triple buff. Is there a triple buff? No, triple maybe buff. I'm mistaken. I know somebody mentioned the double buff.
Well, monks, I guess, because monks have got the buff.
It may have been a bit more general than that. I've lost it. I don't know. I mean, you'd think I'd come prepared, wouldn't you?
Yeah, nah.
Just slapping this crap together
yeah.
as we go. I did mention it wouldn't matter anyway because it's now past. So
that's right. Too late.
I didn't get to use it at all.
Such a waste.
I know. Wasn't
imagine you're 300%, 309%.
It would have made a big difference.
Much difference on that.
I sometimes want to pull back on the percentage because you run out of quests so quickly. Sometimes I want to go down to 200% for a little while, you know.
Yeah. Should be a slider.
Yeah, that's right.
Dial it back a bit.
Turn XP off.
So I did manage to, I don't think it actually helped me, but I did manage to get exalted with your Forest Hosen this week.
Mm.
I was kind of surprised, actually, that I thought I was going to have to do the majority of Jade Forests, you know, in order to crank out that rep, because I was only honored. I think I was about halfway into honored. And not many quests actually were giving me Forest Hosen rep. So I thought, oh, this is going to take a while. This is pretty much going to take me to the end of Jade Forest. And I started doing this chain where you're fighting off the Alliance and you get to a point where there's like an outhouse or something, and you jump in a vehicle and you're shooting, you know, bombs at these Alliance characters trying to approach Gookin Hill. And I completed that quest, and it said, you gain 4,298,000 trillion bazillion rep with Forest Hosen, and you're exalted. So I'm like, oh, okay. I'm not quite sure why they did it that way, but you kind of just zoom through the last bit. It's not really a rep grind. It's just to get to this point in the... And it's only at Gookin Hill, so I mean that's pretty north in your journey south for through.
Yeah, it's very early.
Jade Forest for the Horde. So,
I take it they've made that a wee bit easier, have they?
Well, I don't know. I don't imagine they would have changed that already.
No. Thinking about it, I don't think I've ever heard anybody say they're going to change it.
Yeah. So that just leaves me with. You go the Shadow Pan, just cranking out some dailies. I finished before my ninth anniversary ran out, I did all the actual quests in Town Long Steps. Now it's just a matter of grinding out some dailies. So that shouldn't take me too long.
And how many will that give you when you get your next one, the Shadow Pan?
That'll be 38.
Oh, slack. I need to get on with that.
I know.
I think TJ's got like 60.
Yeah. I know there's people with an insane amount of reputations. Like Leader's got insane in the membrane. I don't think I'll ever get that. I can't imagine me ever grinding to the point of getting the insane title.
That was quite a good money maker, the insane in the membrane, because they needed to get these spider things.
You need to collect all you mean a good money maker by you
for
ripping off people that are trying to get it done.
Ripping off is a bit of a strong word from a cheater, but mate, taking advantage of the market is what you're looking for.
All right, is that the phrase I was looking for?
Yeah, manipulation. But I used to see in trade chat people who were doing it when it was all the cool thing to do. People, crazy amounts of money for those. I can't remember what they were. Some sort of something that dropped off a spider, and having spent half an hour out in the Dread Wastes killing these things and picking up copious amounts of them, and stunning amounts of gold. Stunning amounts of gold.
Well, that was a bandwagon that I missed.
Yeah, sadly, the bandwagons seem to have pulled out of town. Not a lot of gold making going on at the moment.
There's not, is there? No. Not much. I'm not even logging into my auctioneer every day anymore. It just seems that only seems to be certain points in the week, like after reset, and people are doing LFR again. It's about the only time they actually sell anything in terms of your belt buckles or your shoulder enchants or your leg enchants.
Yeah.
Rest of the week it's pretty dead.
So when you start looking at this lull that we all are pretty much certain is going to come, one of the things that filled the lull last time was copious gold making. But I fear that may not be the case this time around.
Well, it'll be a slow slog. It's a supply and demand. If there's no demand because no one's playing because of the deep lull,
then
you're going to be struggling.
I mean, there's always gold to be made. I mean, you just turn to other things. But, there's gold to be made just out in the world. And we mentioned Casey a wee while ago about the artwork that she did for us. It's definitely he, mate. I'm looking at a picture now. It's definitely he. He does a little blog post, caseyturbo.blogspot, I believe it is, and talks about gold making. And the last time he did is he was talking about farming, just going out, spending 20 minutes and making 2,000 or 3,000 gold. Now,
he's where I like
in the
farm.
Scale of things, that's not a ton of money. You could make a lot more manufacturing stuff, or at least you could in the good old days before all this slowness kicked off. But if you want to tide yourself over and you spend, you can spend an hour a day making 6,000 gold, that soon adds up.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
And it's guaranteed.
And if it's something like you actually like doing, like you were, it was quite a buzz for you to do your trog farming.
Yeah. Well, what you're doing as well is if you're looking to really enhance your gameplay, is you want to be trying to hit as many benefits as possible. You want to be making the gold. If you've got characters that you can put on follow that will be earning XP given the level of mob you're killing. And if there's certain items, for instance, out there that may be good sellers, transmog stuff and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
There's a few areas where you can hit 3 or 4 different benefits and come away with a nice bit of cash and also all the XP you need. So trogs were like that. And I believe Bidcar mentioned a while back that they've nerfed the trogs.
Yes. Poor old trogs.
Sadly. And I think I may have been responsible for that nerf. Because I really did abuse it.
I'm sure you were.
I abused those trogs, something rotten. They've reported me to several authorities for the abuse I gave them.
Yeah. And I guess the drop rate's not particularly high, but I did find a nice reason to be running your LFR during the week. I actually got it in the flex raid team that I run with. Didn't get any loot this week in terms of gear, but I did get a new pet. I got a little droplet of Yasharge.
Oh, I saw the picture,
Who's a little a little Sharling type thing. So I was quite happy to learn him, and he's now on my list of pets to level up to 25. But surprisingly, he's cageable.
Yeah.
So that I'm sure there'd be a nice money earner for people that might have 8 or 9 toons and might want to run them through LFR each week for a chance at the pets.
I wonder what the drop rate's like there.
Yeah, well, must be pretty high if I won one already.
Oh, come on, you got that flaming hat.
What?
No, it's dropped in 9 years.
Yeah, one in 9 years, yeah, that's a good win rate. Yeah, I'll be making a fortune on them at that rate. Ooh, look
there
out.
There are a few things like that where you can, if you hit the RNG and you get the pet or you get whatever the drop is or you get the piece of transmog armor,
yeah,
you're going to make out like a bandit.
Yeah, yeah.
But you can't, you just, it's persistent. You know,
can't rely on it, for sure.
You certainly can't bank it, you know, you can't rely on it. But if you're the type of person that can sit in front of the machine for 4 or 5 hours grinding, and there are a few of us amongst the listeners and indeed in this very podcast, then, and like I said, if you can hit several other benefits at the same time, goals that you want to achieve, such as leveling characters, and of course you can come out with a bit of cash in your pocket. But it's people who go, what really annoys me sometimes is they'll go on to Wowhead and they'll see that such and such a pet has a such and such percentage drop rate, and they'll go out for 15 minutes.
Yeah.
And they'll go,
I've killed it 99 times, didn't drop.
It
says it's 100 drop rates. Should have added one, yeah.
That's how RNG works, isn't it? Percentages. And you just go, oh, just forget about it. Fortunately, those people drop by the wayside, and those people who really are grinders and gold makers can make a bit pretty penny. So.
Indeed. But that pretty much wraps up my week. That's what I've been doing this week. Trying to hunt you down and drag you out to an instance.
Oh,
hiding away on YouTube.
You've kept on the down low, mate. You've not been trying to get me. I think it's pretty amazing that we started off this podcast with, let's be honest, no content. And we managed to stretch it out for so long. I think we should pat ourselves on the back.
We better go back and listen to what we said. I'm sure we didn't say anything.
If you think we're going to be one of those podcasts that see that it's a quiet week and just say, oh, let's not do a show, then you're sadly mistaken.
No, we're going to, that's not us.
We're going to shove this down your throats week in.
We're going to podcast angry, and we're going to crap on about stuff that we make up on the fly.
That's good stuff.
So P.S. Have all this power. P.S. I'm leveling my demonology warlock.
As you should.
Mm.
I'm glad that you've come around.
I have come around.
Power of demonology.
I'm spending as much time in metamorphosis as possible, and loving it.
It's funny how that clicks in, because at some stage you're like, "Oh, okay, I know, I can go. It's all flashing, and I've got the horns, and I should really do it." But nah. But once you get into the habit of jumping in there, once it's at the prime moment,
yep.
And you can use the things, then it really, really, really does increase your DPS.
Oh, yeah. I build it up as quickly and as much as possible. I love just jumping in and doing your Hellfire AoE. That builds it up pretty darn quick.
Yeah.
You know, makes the healers stress out, but Wingy's a good healer, so all of the mobs beating on me rather than the tank. You can just heal me through it. All good.
You're damaging yourself.
Yeah, and don't just quietly don't tell him. But of course, you know, every now and again, I'll just unnecessarily hit life tap just to drain a bit of life.
Testing the healer.
That's right.
Probably not a great idea. Yeah. So, what can we say? Another show in the, what do you call it? Bucket? No. Do we put a podcast? Mm-hmm. In the can. So I want to say can, but that's more of a film thing.
No. I'm trying to think what Casey Kasem would have done with his American Top 40. Pretty sure he would have put that in the can.
That dude had the voice, I tell you. One of my favourite voices on radio, Casey Kasem.
Yeah. It's actually, there's a few voices in radio here in Melbourne that have been around for as long as I can remember, like as an early teenager listening to them on some radio station. And that was some decades ago. Mm. And these DJs are still around and they sound exactly the same 30 years later. It's like, and you think, well, how old is this dude? You know, how old was he when I first heard him, like 30 years ago? And, they're still going. They sound exactly the same. Well, listeners, guess what, Jeppy? You're not going to guess what. But next week, I'm not sure that we should change the schedule. In fact, I'm pretty sure we shouldn't change the schedule. But next week is episode 13. And next week, we've got Friday the 13th.
Dun, dun, dun.
Coincidence?
Should we not skip?
I think not.
Should we not go straight to episode 14?
No, that's okay. I'll leave the black cats and the ladders outside, and I think we should be right.
Okay, and I'm sure you've got plenty to say about 13. Hopefully a heck of a lot more entertaining than 12 and 10 and 11, 9.
13 is just going to be, it's a baker's dozen.
Excellent. Yeah. So we're going to say goodbye until then. This has been Jeppy for The Horde. No, that's a different podcast.
Is it? I'm pretty sure it's the last say that.
It's our Mama podcast.
Yes. Or are they our sister? Are they our sister podcast?
I don't know. Mm. I can't really think of them as a sister anymore.
Can you? No. You'd rather them as your Mama.
Mama podcast.
Mm. Oh, well, I'm going to finish that way. I'm Ashayo for The Horde.
And I'm Jeppy. Go check out YouTube. More videos are coming.
You've just skipped to the end of WoW Geekly. Well, hopefully you didn't skip all the way and enjoyed something of what we said this week. If so, let us know. If not, let us know that too. How, you ask? Well, you're all clever and discerning people and can probably take a darn good guess, but I'll spell it out anyway. Find us on the interwebs at wowgeekly.com or over on Twitter where, wait for it, at wowgeekly. Follow the lads directly on @Ashayo and @LJeppy. Or, if you have a hankering to write us more than 140 characters, email us, wowgeekly@gmail.com. Please subscribe to us on iTunes or Stitcher, or if you're really into oversubscribing, do both.
Upload complete.